Good morning.
Good morning.
A very warm welcome to our service this morning. I don't think I've ever seen the church so full. It's just wonderful that you're all here. And of course that Eric is here and Jane.
The reading is taken from John chapter 21. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said, "you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep. Very truly I tell you, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go." Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, "Follow me." Peter turned and saw the disciple whom Jesus loved was following them. This was the one who'd leaned back against Jesus at the supper and had said, "Lord, who is going to betray you?" When Peter saw him, he asked, "Lord, what about him?" Jesus answered, "If I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? You must follow me." Because of this, the rumor spread among the believers that this disciple would not die. But Jesus did not say that he would not die. He only said, "If I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you?" This is the disciple who testifies to these things and who wrote them down. We know that his testimony is true. Jesus did many other things as well. If every one of them were written down, I suppose that even the whole world would not have room for the books that would be written. This is the word of the Lord.
If you've been to the 11:15 or the 6:30 service in recent years, you'll have noticed that at the beginning of the service or just before the service, those who are leading the service, preaching, the band, the AV team, we get together and we stand in a circle and we bow our heads and we pray. Well, with my head bowed, I've noticed the shoes that the young people are wearing. And during the past few years, I've seen a few changes in style and fashion. I've also noticed that trouser bottoms are getting narrower. I think the other week I was the only one who wasn't wearing skinnies, whatever they are. Anyway, I wonder if any of the young people would come up and show us their shoes. What are they? Can you describe them?
They're called backless mules, I think.
Oh, is that very fashionable then?
I'm not sure.
I tell you what, I think I'm going to go out and get a pair just like that. And what do you wear them for? They're for dress?
I've only worn them 3 times, I think.
Oh, wow.
Special occasions, you know.
Yeah, thank you. Oh, thank you. And Evie?
I'm just wearing trainers.
Trainers, right. Well, they're different to other trainers, aren't they? We used to call them basketball shoes or something like that?
I have no idea. No? Okay.
What have you got on?
Just some trainers.
And have they got a tick on them or something like that?
Yeah.
Just do it. Yeah? Yeah. Josh?
Yeah, I've just got the same. Just Nike.
Right. Nike's a kind of favourite at the moment, yeah.
I've got some Airwalks on.
So which ones?
Airwalks.
Oh, Airwalks. All right. Are they for skateboards or something?
Yeah.
Yeah, you have to excuse me, I'm an old man. Oh, these are lovely. Martha, what are they?
Boots.
Are they for keeping you warm in the winter?
Yeah.
I'm going to ask Daddy what shoes he's got on.
I've got my brown shoes on.
Brown shoes. Curates these days, eh? Brown shoes. Elizabeth, what have you got on?
Trainers.
Trainer, but you've got special laces. Tell us about your laces.
I haven't tied them.
You haven't? Just watch as you go down the steps. They're sparkly as well. They're beautiful, sparkly laces. Now then, they look a bit different.
I've just got trainers which are very fluorescent.
You've got trainers, but they've got Velcro as well.
Yeah.
I bought a pair of Velcro shoes once, and my sons took the mickey out of me because they said, you're only doing that because you can't tie your shoelaces anymore. So you've got different shoes. Some of them are brown shoes for curates. Some of them are trainers for running. You did the 10K, didn't you? And did quite a good time, I understand, as well. So trainers for running and shoes with flowers. And basketball shoes? Thank you very much. Shoes.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for these gifts. May they be used in your service and to the glory of your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
As we stand, shall we bow our heads for a prayer? Heavenly Father, may the words of my lips and the thoughts and responses of all our hearts and lives be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. It's great seeing so many here. I'm very humbled by those, by all of you, but particularly those who've travelled a long way. And I just want to say a big thank you to Sister Abba, who's come all the way from Ghana to be here this morning. So. Sister Abba is much loved and held very dear here, and we'll continue to pray for and support her in the months and years to come. We started thinking about shoes earlier in the service, and if we can afford it, we wear different shoes for different occasions and different purposes. We might wear a pair of fairly ordinary leather shoes for day-to-day stuff, like going to school or going to work if we work in an office. Or we might, can we have a pair of shoes up? That's it. Oh, well, one shoe, there you are. If we work outdoors or in a factory, we might wear boots with metal toe caps, protective shoes. If we're going on a ramble with some friends, we might wear walking shoes. Or if we're going on a more challenging hike, we'll wear a good pair of walking boots. There are trainers for the gym. We saw a few varieties of trainers earlier. There are running shoes for the running track. There are dancing shoes for the dance floor. Tap shoes. I know, hands up if you do tap dancing. Yes, I knew there were some tap dancers in our midst. You know the old joke, don't fall into the sink. Different shoes for different purposes, different times. Now think about your own discipleship for a moment, your journey with Jesus, your walking with Jesus, you're following Jesus. We're committed to going on a journey with him when we decide to follow him. And sometimes that journey is easy going. Sometimes it's really tough. Sometimes we want to dance for joy. If you were to think of your own discipleship as it is today, what kind of shoes do you think would be the right ones for that stage in your journey? What would be the right shoes for you now? I wonder what kind of shoes Peter would have worn, would be wearing when he met the risen Jesus after the end of John's Gospel. You know, I think he would have been barefoot because I think he'd taken his discipleship shoes off. He'd let Jesus down big time by denying him three times when he was arrested. He'd said to Jesus, Jesus, I'll follow you anywhere. But when it came to it, he ran scared. Now here he was, as it were, barefoot and vulnerable. And Jesus asked him three times if Peter loves him. And each time he replied that he did. And each time Jesus gives him a command, feed my lambs, look after my sheep, feed my sheep. And it's as if Jesus is saying to Peter, put your discipleship shoes back on. Get back to following me and put your working shoes on because there's more for you to do. There's more. Get your shoes back on. Follow me. And maybe there's someone here who's taken the discipleship shoes off. You've let Jesus down big time and you know it. Or you've simply drifted away over the years, months and years. And maybe you think there's no way back. Well, there is. There was for Peter, and there is for you. God wants to lift you up, dust you down, and set you off again in a new pair of shoes for a fresh start. And Jesus, in this passage, also tells Peter something else. He says, "Very truly I tell you, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go. Someone else will put a pair of shoes on you and you won't like them much." Jesus is saying to Peter, the journey isn't the same now as when you started. And it won't be the same when you're older either. Our discipleship journey changes over the years. It's not the same at the end as it was at the beginning. But the important thing is Jesus' word, follow me. Wherever we are in the journey, whatever's happening in our lives, our focus is to be on Jesus and his command, follow me. That's the command Jesus gave to Peter. The journey isn't over, there's more. And what shoes would best equip you, perhaps, for this stage of your journey with Jesus? Our focus is always to be on Jesus and his command to follow, to continue in discipleship. And we won't necessarily know, if you like, what kind of shoes might be appropriate for the next stage of the journey. Maybe if they had been around at the time, Peter would have thought, you know, I'd better get myself some of those protective boots for this stage of the journey that Jesus is saying I'm going to be facing. It's going to be challenging. Shoes. Pair of shoes would best equip you for what Jesus is calling you to do today. Now, I'm wearing black shiny shoes. They're the shoes I probably wear most often in church. They're smart and they're tidy and they look okay under a cassock. When someone looks down at the communion rail, they don't see a pair of messy, dirty trainers. They see shiny shoes. And these shoes represent my responsibility as Vicar of St. Barnabas. And if you'll bear with me for a while, this is going to be important to me, I'm going to take them off. There we are. And these shoes, they represent the weight of responsibility. The long hours, the time deadlines, the trying to keep up with regulations, the sensitive situations that occur from time to time, the sadness when members of the church family succumb to illness, frailty, or the changes and chances of life, and they die, and watching the grief that brings to their families, their loved ones. But these shoes also represent the tremendous privilege of being called to be vicar of this wonderful church and parish. They represent the years that we had in my curacy here under the wonderful, wise, spirit-filled leadership of Ian Reid and, of course, of Jenny. They represent the meeting with God's people every Wednesday and Sunday to draw into his presence together in worship and to sense his Holy Spirit moving in our midst as the Lord blesses us and strengthens us for our journey. They represent the absolute joy of getting to see, of seeing people getting to know Jesus and their lives being transformed and their values being transformed because they know Jesus and his love. They represent the tremendous and humbling privilege of being called to serve the people of this parish in the major events of life, birth, marriage, death. They represent the many, many kindnesses and support Jane and I and our family have received from our church family here over the years. They represent the wonderful church wardens who have done so much in the Lord's service over my time here. You have two outstanding church wardens at present. Keep praying for them. Pray for the church wardens. They bear a big responsibility on your behalf. And they represent the many gifted and committed colleagues I've had the joy of working with in the staff team over the years. They represent the lovely times together in parish holidays. They represent the band dances and the fun and the jokes. Stan, where is he? I could go on, but I've taken those shoes off. I'm in my socks. I'm vulnerable. I'm exposed. So I'm going to put a new pair of shoes on. Shoes that I've never worn before. And I don't know what the next part of the journey involves. So I've got kind of crossover shoes. They're kind of, big, aren't they? I've got big feet. And they're kind of smart casual. But I couldn't wear them under a cassock, I'm sure. Brown shoes. But they're good walking shoes, and I hope I can do a bit more walking in the future. One of the things we love doing. Now, I've got them to mark a new phase in the journey, wherever that may be. And can I make a suggestion? When a new vicar is appointed, their ministry at St. Barnabas will start at a big service here in church. And the bishop of the archdeacon will formally make them incumbent of the parish of Linthorpe and Ayresham. Can I suggest that if you can, come wearing a pair of shoes that you've never worn before. Wear them for the first time at that service. Wear them as a sign that you're ready to go wherever the Lord leads you. Wear them to say, I'm ready to walk with my brothers and sisters here as we continue to follow Jesus together. Wear them as a way of saying, yes, Lord, I'm ready for the changes, any changes you may want to make. I'm ready. And wear them as a sign that you're ready for the new phase in the discipleship journey of this wonderful church, and that you're open to all that God in his love and power and grace wants to do in you and through you. Wear those new shoes and step out together into God's glorious future for this wonderful church. Amen.
So the church wardens are now going to come and make a presentation.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, we are nearly at the end of the last service with Eric as our vicar, the end of a substantial era in the life of St. Barnabas Church. Eric has served us faithfully and diligently as vicar for the past 19 years, and I know everyone here will have some of their own special memories of the love and help and encouragement that Eric and Jane have given to them as they move forward in their walk with God. There is a book, which is at the moment, I think, in the narthex, which some people have already filled in, which is an opportunity for people to write their own special thanks to Eric and Jane. That will go into the church hall afterwards if people want to fill that in. At the party we had on the 3rd of February, I read out a poem that was written by one of the congregation. And I know there are many here this morning who were not unable to be there on that occasion. And I think everybody felt it was such an appropriate piece that I'm going to read it again. What shall we say as our vicar departs, leaving an Eric-shaped gap in our hearts? How can we describe the gifts that he brought, the good news he preached, the truths that he taught? He made sure we understood what he meant, hung on each word of his Scottish accent. Nor let us forget his deep pastoral care. If comfort were needed, Eric was there. And then bear in mind the curates he trained, the standard of worship carefully maintained, the wise words he wrote, the trouble he took, his regular thoughts each month in outlook, his choice of a wife to lessen the strain. So we always speak of Eric and Jane. Remember the humble path that he trod. No glory to self or glory to God. Yes, give thanks for Eric, the kindest of men. I doubt if we'll see his equal again. Eric has already been presented with a framed version of that poem. We all have fond memories of your time here with us at St. Barnabas, and we could not let you leave without giving you something to remember your time here with us. Your family here have contributed, well, not just to three things, but three things this morning that we would like to send you on your way as you're moving to your retirement and the next phase of your walk with God. The first is our love and prayers for your life, your new life that you will lead from Beverley. Secondly, a momentum of your time here at St. Barnabas, in which hope will remind you of your time here with us as you look at it on a regular basis. And I think there's also a contribution from the toddler group as well to remember you by. So I think it doesn't rock out of it.
Oh, wow, this is brilliant, isn't it? Oh, really good. Who's done it?
Sam Duran.
Sam Duran. Oh, thank you so much, Sam. He's got a decent notice board there as well. That's really good.
And finally, a cheque to spend as you see fit in gratitude and thanks for your ministry here at St. Barnabas. Jane. And I gather that we have some little extras from our youngsters down in the corner there. Or the creche. Is it the creche that want to? Oh, right, here they come. Can we get the table out? Can we lift this out or not? And of course, an occasion like this wouldn't be the same if we didn't have a cake.
We started with a cake.
Yep. We're shortly going to have our final hymn, and then we'll do all the photography. But we would like to ask Tessa to come and lead with one or two others to pray for Eric and Jane as they move on in retirement into their new part of their life, and to wish them well for that.
I've seen so many people being sent out into ministry elsewhere and being sent out with prayer. And I wonder if there are any people here who are part of Eric and Jane's life group or who are part of the staff team or have been part of the staff team. If you'd like to come up, that would be wonderful. I see we've got We've got Ray, we've got Pauline. Fantastic, please do come up.
Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for Joan and Eric, for their love, their ministry, their care, their compassion. Father, we pray that you will bless them as they go out now. We know that you will have great things for them. And we just lift them to you for your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And hope of God, and the sisters of sight, and the sisters' name. Amen.
Heavenly Father, we commend Eric and Jane to your mercy on this next step on their journey. We pray for your Holy Spirit's guidance for them. We pray that you would continue to use them in your service. Give them the work to do that you have for them, Lord. So we commend them lovingly to you, and we give thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.
Father, we thank you so much for all that Eric and Jane have meant to us over the years they've been here. And we pray, Lord, that you would fill them afresh with your Holy Spirit as they set off on this new phase of their life. We pray that you would continue to use them, Lord, in your service, and may they bring many people into your kingdom. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Go forth with our love, with our prayers, and with the certainty that the Lord goes with you. Amen.
Father, we thank you so much for all that Eric and Jane have meant to us, for the many years of service and sacrifice made. And Heavenly Father, we pray that you would help us to keep in our hearts all that we've learnt from them. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
I just want to say thank you. Thank you for allowing me to be the vicar here for 19 years. It's been absolutely, I cannot express just how wonderful it's been. Just to be part of this family with such lovely people who are so generous, so loving, so kind, so forgiving. some of you have known me since 1984, so you've rumbled me by now. I'm not good at confrontation, I'm hopeless at detail. There are a whole load of other things you probably have discovered about me that I don't even know about myself, all my faults and failings. I'd appreciate it if you didn't call them out now, but I just want to say thank you, and despite that, I hope that you know that we've loved you, and we'll go on loving you.